Thank you. She had a perfect life. She had never thought of sin or had anyone sin against her. She had a blissful marriage with a sinless husband. She lived in a perfect place called Eden, which in the Hebrew means pleasure and enjoyment. And best of all, she had a personal relationship with God, who would regularly appear to her and talk with her personally. Eve had everything she needed and much, much more. She had a perfect life. But instead of enjoying all the blessings that God had given her, the devil tricked Eve into focusing on the one thing that God was not going to give her. Eve could eat from any trees in the garden. They were beautiful and it produced delicious fruit. But God commanded her not to eat from the one tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2:9. This was because God didn't want her to know evil and destroy her life. But because Eve listened to the devil, she became focused on that one thing that God was not going to give her. And she forgot about the many blessings God had already given her. As a result, she became ungrateful and turned away from God, and her sin of ingratitude led to the sin of disobeying God's one command to her. And as a result of her sin and bringing sin into this world, she destroyed her paradise, she destroyed her life, and even the human race. Now imagine that day when the serpent came to Eve to tempt her to feel discontent about her life in a perfect paradise. This serpent's talking to her, and Eve's response was our primary text for my message today. And she said right to the serpent's face, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me." That truth would have protected Eve and silenced the devil. Praise can protect us in the same way. It can defeat the devil's work in your heart to be discouraged and discontent with your life. Therefore, my topic this morning is the habit of praising God, especially in our God times. In my previous message, I suggested the POWER acronym as a guide for a God time, and the P stands for praise. Praising God is such an essential part of the Christian life that it should be the first thing we do in our God time every day, in my opinion. And the primary point of this message is this: praising God makes both him and you happy. It's a powerful thing. So first I want to discuss several aspects of the power of praise in our life and then offer some practical advice about praising God in our daily God times. The first reason we want to praise God in our God times is this: praising God blesses God. It's not about us, it's about him. This amazing fact is more clearly reflected in the more literal NASB translation of our primary text today. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." The Hebrew word here is normally used to describe God's blessing of people, as in giving them prosperity and happiness. But here it says, "We bless God." Somehow, we make him happy. As one Bible scholar put it, quote, "To bless the Lord means to delight his heart by expressing love and gratitude for all he is and all he does." So some Bible versions translate the Hebrew here as bless and others as praise. How do we explain this? Well, this is another example of where a Hebrew word, translating a Hebrew word or Greek word, can't be done with just one English word. And so the meaning here is praise the Lord to bless the Lord. That's what David's talking about. Praise the Lord to bless him. And that is the very first reason we praise God in our God times, to bless God and make him happy by our praise and our worship of him and his goodness to us. So think about that. As a mere human, you can bless God and make your Creator happy by praising him. And of course, that can make some sense when you think about all the ingratitude, all the complaining, all the grumbling in this world, all the people who take God for granted, and we stop at the beginning of our day and we thank him for what he's done in our lives. Of course, that makes him happy. That's a lot of power for mere human beings to be able to make God happy. And so, My primary point, praising God makes both him and you happy. And this is one reason we want to obey my primary text today. Let all that I am praise and bless the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. A second aspect of the power of praise in our God times is also in my primary point. Praising God gives you joy. Praising God makes you happy. Why is praise so powerful to give you joy? Because it focuses your mind on all of your blessings. It's just so easy for our daily life to remind us of all the things we don't like. Notice how David praised God for some specific things in this after this primary text. Again, Psalm 103, starting in verse 2, let all that I am praise and bless the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. And then David starts talking specifically about what he's thanking God for. He forgives all my sins and heals my diseases. He redeems me from death, crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. David is praising God for specific things. Why did he choose these specific things? Because they especially communicated God's love for him. These were things that he was especially thankful for. These were ways that God had practically demonstrated his love to David. And in a moment, I'll talk more about you doing the same. But notice that praising God focused David's mind on God's blessings, and this is why praising God gives us joy. I've taught this many times. Praising God gives you joy because it reminds you of the truth of God's love for you, and trusting the truth, that truth of God's love for you, activates the power of the Holy Spirit to give you joy. I've given whole messages about that, haven't I? There's one reason why praising God gives us that joy. It's because it activates the Spirit in us. Being happy, Christians, we know this, being happy is not a matter of merely changing our circumstances as much as it is changing our own hearts, right? We know that. And praising God is one of the most powerful ways that we change our heart. Now, here is a very sad fact, though. When we are not praising God for his blessings, you are not emotionally experiencing those blessings. If you don't recognize God's blessings and thank him for them, it will be as if they never happened. God will continue to bless us even if we do not praise him for his blessings, okay? But we will not feel those blessings. God may as well take away our blessings because we are not fully enjoying them anyway. If we are not praising him for them and recognizing them and thanking him for them. Starting your day with praising God enables you to start your day with joy. The psalmist said this, it is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning. There is no better way to start your day than that right there. Remember one of the purposes of a God time, according to Martin Luther. He said, I want to spend enough time with Jesus every day that my heart gets glad. I like that. That's why I keep repeating it. That is a wonderful thing. Start your day glad with God and stay glad because of God. Don't leave your God time until you have praised and thanked God enough that you feel the Spirit's joy operating in your heart and your life. So let us use our God time to start our day glad, focused on the things we have to be thankful for, and let us stay glad all day long. To take that thankful, praising heart that we accomplish in our God time with God in the morning and take it into our day all day long. Praising God makes both him and you happy. And this is another reason we want to obey our primary text, to let all that we are praise and bless the Lord and not forget any of the good things he's done for us. A third power of praising God is that praising God grows your faith in God's love. The primary point of the first message of the foundation study was that it was one of the three essentials of all the Christian essentials. You might remember those messages. I spoke on the three essentials of all the essentials of the Christian life. And I said this, the most important thing in your life is to believe in God's unstoppable love with all your heart. I don't back down from that statement. That's what I believe. So a very important question is this, how can we grow in our belief and faith in God's love for us? It's an incredibly important question, and I want to say consistently praising him for how he has demonstrated his love for us is one very important way we become more convinced of God's love. Our faith in God and his love grows through what we experience, not just what we read in the Bible, but what we experience of God convinces us of his love for us. And praising God reminds us of the blessings and goodness and love we have experienced from God. We know God allows a lot of hard and painful things in our life. He does. And those hard experiences attack our faith in God's love for us. We know that. Therefore, we must combat those attacks on our faith with praising God for the good things he has done for us, which are always better and bigger than any of the hard things he allows. Let me repeat that. The good things God has already given us are always better and bigger than any of the hard things God allows. That's such an important truth. God lets you die, but he's already given you eternal life and will resurrect you someday. God lets someone sin against you. That hurts. That's painful. Why did God let that person be mean to me? But God has already forgiven all of your sins and saved you from hell. That's bigger and better than whatever God might allow to happen in your life. And you will find that true of your life. Everything we can ask God for on this earth is worth mere pennies compared to the eternal worth of all the blessings that God has given us. As our text states, let all that I am praise and bless the Lord, so then may I never forget the good things he does for me. And that is what hard events in your life tempt you to do. Forget the good things that God does for you. And then we are right back to Eve in the garden, aren't we? Focus on the one thing God is not doing for us and forgetting all of the even more important ways that he's blessed us. We will do that. Look at this example in Scripture of men who lost their faith. And notice the reason why. The warriors of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned their backs and fled on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his instructions. Why? Because they forgot. They forgot what he had done for them and the great wonders he had shown them. They forgot. A day of battle, a hard, challenging, scary thing in our life will tempt us to lose faith and be afraid. And these men failed in their faith because they forgot what God had done for them in the past. We cannot do the same, Christian. All of this is why our primary text is so important. One of our greatest human weaknesses is ignoring or forgetting God's goodness to us. It just slips away so easily. So notice in our text the relationship between praise and not forgetting. David said, let all that I am praise the Lord so that I never forget the good things he does for me. It's even more clear in the literal Hebrew that there's a connection between those things. We forget none of his benefits by praising the Lord. That's how we do this. That's how we don't forget, is praising him. So for the sake of maintaining and strengthening our faith in God's love for us, an essential Christian habit is to obey our primary text here, at least in our daily God times. There's another reason to begin our day and our God times with praising God. The power of praise to protect your heart. When you think of essential habits in a Christian's life, what comes to mind? Prayer, of course, reading God's word, going to church, indeed. These are all important. But the New Testament constantly commands us to express thanks and praise to God. Christians are to overflow with thankfulness and always be thankful, Colossians. God's children are to devote yourselves to a thankful heart, Colossians 4:2. Devote yourself to a thankful heart. We should be giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, Ephesians 5:20. Christians are to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. It is God's will for you to thank God in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Finally, he commands us, do everything without complaining and thank him for all he has done. Do you see how your life and mind are to be permeated with thanking and praising God? Why is there so much scripture about praising God? One reason is that it is such a vital spiritual protection for our heart and our mind and our life. Paul reflects this when he writes in Philippians chapter 4, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has already done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 4. You see, feeling worry is a sign that the devil is deceiving you like he did Eve. That worry will corrupt your heart and cause you to forget God's love like Eve did. The devil is constantly trying to do the same in our life, to get you focused on the one thing God you want God to change, so you will forget all that he has already given you to enjoy. That's what the devil likes to do. What will give you peace to guard your hearts and minds? Of course, praying about everything. We often do this and tell God what we need. But prayer alone will not lead to peace. Paul says we also need to thank him for what he has already done. Then you will experience God's peace. Paul tells us that prayer and praise go together. Why is praise so important in our prayers? Because, again, praise is a vital weapon against the devil and his constant attack on our gratitude. You are in constant battle against the devil and your sinful nature to maintain the proper perspective on your life, to think positively about your life instead of negatively. This is why the Bible constantly tells us to be grateful, because negativity is a cancer in our heart. The Bible says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Praise the God. Think about those things, Paul says. Positive thinking is not just worldly psychology, but it's a biblical command. Positive thinking is not just ignoring your difficulties. In fact, positive thinking is keeping your mind fixed on reality. The truth about your life is this, Christian. No matter what is happening in your life, you have so much more to be thankful for. That's the reality. Always. Always. This is why we need to make the same commitment David did when he said, "Let all that I am praise and bless the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me." Because praising God makes both him and you happy. A final reason that praising God is an essential part of our God times every day is this. Praising God protects you from the sin of ingratitude. What was the first sin committed by humans? Eating forbidden fruit? Not in my opinion. I think Eve sinned even before she ate the fruit. I think in sinned another way. What was that sin? I think it was ingratitude. Something was happening inside of her where she became discontent with her life in the garden. That happened before she did that dumb thing by eating that fruit. What is ingratitude? It means a poor response to or forgetfulness of a kindness received. And Christian, oftentimes in our life, our first sin and the start of all of our sin and idolatry is that we refuse to be satisfied and thankful for what God has already given us. Let me say that again. The beginning point in Eve's life and our life is that we refuse to be satisfied and thankful for what God has already given us. This certainly described Eve. She chose to forget the value of everything God had given her and focus on the one thing God was not going to give her. And as a result, she lost her gratitude to God and doubted his goodness. All that happened before she ate the fruit. And I believe these were the first sins. These same sins of ingratitude and doubt in God's love will lead to much more sin and destruction in our lives as well. The Apostle Paul described the same downward spiral into sin in Romans. Speaking of the pagan world, he writes, "Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness." Romans chapter 1. Did you notice where their wickedness started? They wouldn't give God thanks. That's where that downward spiral in Romans 1, chapter 1 begins. Like Eve, their first sin was ingratitude. When humans do not recognize and thank God for all of his kindness, it begins to distort their view of God and corrupt their heart. This is what happened to Eve because she failed to be thankful for all God had given her. She began to believe God was withholding good from her. You ever been tempted to believe that? And she became focused on the devil's false evidence that God did not love her. It was a battle inside of her heart. And because it worked with Eve, he keeps trying it with all human beings. And the devil is constantly trying to do the same in our life. To get you to focus on the one bad thing you want to change about your life and forget the 99 good things you could already enjoy. What happened to Eve looks like this graphic here. This is what our life looks like from God's perspective. Yeah, he's letting one bad thing happen. Yep. But from his perspective, he sees 99 other things that he's blessed you with. And every single one of them more important than that one black dot. For every black dot or circumstance that we wish God would change, there are 99 blessings of God in our life that far outnumber and far outweigh that one black dot. But what do we do? That's what we do in our mind. We focus on that one black dot, that one painful circumstance. As a result, it just gets bigger and bigger in our perspective and blocks out the sun of all the goodness of God in our life. Which is why we must make sure we begin our day with praising God. Unfortunately, forgetting the goodness of God is very common. Remember the story of the 10 lepers? In biblical times, leprosy was a horrific disease. It required you to leave your spouse, your children, and friends and be an outcast from society. This is what the Old Testament law was about leprosy. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Imagine having to live that way. And this was happening in Jesus' day when he was on the earth. Now think about how much Jesus changed the lives of the 10 lepers as you read about their ingratitude. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village, there 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them out of 10, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? No one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner. Can you hear the hurt in Jesus' voice? I can. Where are the other 9? I healed them too. Their lives have been completely changed. They can go back to their families. Where are they? Ingratitude is an ugly sin that hurts God. Which is why gratitude makes him so happy. Our praise and gratitude makes God happy, so the opposite is true as well. Our ingratitude hurts God. So let us not be among the multitude of forgetful and ungrateful humans that take God's goodness for granted. You know, this is so much especially true in America, isn't it? There's never been a country in all the history of humanity that's been blessed more than the United States of America. Not even close. As you know, I traveled to other places in this world, and you know, this place is a bubble of prosperity. But you'll never meet a people, a culture that is more complaining, more grumbling, more ingratitude than Americans. Go visit people in Nepal, India, Honduras. They got nothing, but they're happier than we are. They really are. Why? Because they're so grateful for what they have. It's sad. Let's not be Americans, typical Americans, okay? Let's be Christians and obey our text today. Let all that I am praise and bless the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me, because praising God makes him and us happy. So I want to end here today with some practical suggestions about praising God in our God times. First, praise is a good way to begin a conversation with God. And remember, we said that's what a God time is. It's a conversation with God. This is why the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Approach God with praise in your God time. The name of God represents his character, and beginning your God time by focusing on who he is will help you have the proper perspective for who you are spending time with in your God time. And thanking him for his blessings will give you the proper perspective on your day and your whole life, as we've already said. Here are some additional practical suggestions about praising God in your God time. First, I strongly encourage you to express all your praise and prayer out loud to God during your God time. Don't just do this in your head. I'm asking you to do it with your lips and your voice. One of the greatest difficulties you will have in your God time is staying focused on God. You ever experience that? Trying to spend time with God, trying to focus on God, and now your mind's going to what's going to happen later today or whatever else. I mean, it's amazing how our minds can go just everywhere. And your mind will constantly want to wander and think about other things, even in the presence of God. It's ridiculous. If you keep your conversation with God merely in your mind, you'll be much more likely to think about other things. So expressing your praise and prayers out loud will greatly help you keep your mind and time focused on God. This is another reason why I refer to our devotional times as God times instead of the more common label of quiet times. I don't think the times that David and Jesus spent with God were quiet times. I think they spoke these things out loud. I think the Psalms were spoken out loud. I'm going to say more about that in my next message. Second, make it a goal in your God time to thank God for seven things. That's just what I do. I make it a goal to thank him for seven things. And I count those seven things on my fingers. I go, one, two, because my mind drifts. Okay, how many things have I thanked them for? Oh, look at my hand. Five things. I got two more to go. I mean, that's just how my mind is. I'm asking you to commit seven things. Thank God for seven things every single day at the beginning of your day. Let me make suggestions as to what perhaps the first four of those things should be. Four things that I think are essential for you to recognize, focus on, and praise God for every day in your God time. First, praise God the Father. Praise him for his power and love. Look what David was focused on in Psalm 62. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love is yours. His power and his love. You could thank God and praise God for many things about him, but focus on his power and his love. Worship God the Father every day for his power and ultimate control over your life and the whole world. And also thank him for choosing you and adopting you to be his son or daughter. First, praise God the Father for who he is and what he's done. Obviously, second, praise God the Son. Just go right through the Trinity here. Thank him every day for the sacrifice he made to pay for the penalty of your sins. And thank Jesus Christ every day for the fact that he, by his death, enabled you to overcome the greatest enemy that human beings have, and that's death. Jesus Christ has given you eternal life. Thank him for that every day. You're never going to die. Third, praise God for the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest and most powerful blessings in your life is that God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. You should think about that every day. We do not have examples in Scripture of anyone praying directly to the Holy Spirit, but we can thank God for sending him into our lives and thank God for the holy desires and the power and the love and the joy and the peace that the Holy Spirit supernaturally gives us. Listen to me. Do this. Just try this. Take a moment in your God time to feel the Holy Spirit in you. He's there. Do you feel God's love for you through his presence in you? Do you feel the Spirit's joy, his peace, his power? God is living in you, Christian. Take a moment in your God time to recognize that. And the power that he gives you. The Bible says the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry Abba or Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Do you feel that conviction from God's Spirit that you are his child, that he's chosen you, adopted you into his family? That's the testimony the Spirit wants to give you. And does that conviction from the Spirit help you feel the Spirit's love, joy, and peace? Do you feel the Holy Spirit's desire within you to obey God today, no matter what it requires, to please him? Do you feel that passion you have from the Holy Spirit of God to please him and to love people? Again, take a moment every day in your God time to recognize the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you and thanking God for sending him. Fourth, praise God for your future. The Apostle Paul wrote something we need to do every day. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Paul tells us to focus our life on heaven, not earth. And the best way to do that is to think about Christ's return when he is revealed to the whole world, and you will share in all of his glory. Scripture promises that Jesus is returning to create a new and perfect earth for you to live on forever. Boy, you should think about that every single day and thank God for that. It will change your life and the way you live if you do this. Thank him that no matter what happens in your life, that day will come when everything in your life will be perfect forever. That day's coming. So try this in your time of praise, in your God time. One, praise God the Father, especially for his power and his love. Two, thank God the Son, especially for paying the price for your complete forgiveness. Third, thank God for having his Spirit live in you and the desires and powers he gives you. And fourth, praise God for the promise that Jesus Christ is going to return and resurrect you to live on a new and perfect earth forever. So what are those other three things? Well, that you should praise God for. Praise God for personal blessings in your life that most clearly and powerfully communicate God's love for you. I thank God every day that all five of my children are following the Lord. There's just way too many people that can't say that. And I know that's God's work, and that's not to my credit. That's to his. I thank him every single day for that. I thank him every single day for my grandkids. I mean, I didn't know what having grandkids was like, but my goodness. Empty nester grandpa, there's no better life to live. I thank him for my wife. Goodness, what she has put up with in 37 years of marriage. I wouldn't have known that I was getting that kind of girl. Amazing. What are the things in your life, the very specific things, where you know that right there demonstrates God's love to me very clearly, because I know he did that for me. Of course, he demonstrated his love for us on the cross, okay? But I'm talking about the things he's done in your life now, where you cannot deny God specially did that for me because of his favor on my life and his personal love for me. You got to have those things. You got to know what those are, and that's your homework assignment this week. You figure out what those are, the unique, specific blessings that God has given you. Don't be looking at other people's lives. Gee, I wish I had 14 grandchildren like Pastor Kurt. I wish all my kids were saved. Don't do that. How has God specifically, uniquely blessed and loved you? There's something there. There's at least three things there, and that's what I would encourage you to focus on again in those seven things that you want to thank God for every day. They'll set you right at the beginning of your day. And this are some practical ways that we can obey our text today. Let all that I am praise and bless the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me, because praising God makes both him and you happy. Amen. Spend a moment with the person next to you discussing what was helpful to you in today's sermon. I'll come up here in a minute and we'll end in prayer.